Ned, they call nightly.
At 8:30 p.m. Like I said, that repeater, that 7-9 machine's carrying squelch 3/4 of the time. The only time that it goes to tones when it's on battery power, and that's 123.0. But most time it's carrying squelch.
Look, Dad, I'll try to check in tomorrow night or either listen to them anyway. I ought to be able to hit it from here.
Not for sure, but the possibility is there that you might be able to. I know I have no trouble with it, but I was just wondering if you was going to make it to that ham fest. I hope to make it to that in the barn some kind of emergency doesn't come up. And I want to hear more of your stories, too, and hear more, too, about the holocrafters and all. I heard you say a while back you can't. Trying to get parts for it. The current QST right now shows the last radio holocraft is made here before they went under.
Me there, Andy.
I'm trying to KI4LZFID. I don't know that you got it, but it's what they call the FPM-300. As they say here in QST, the last single sideband CW transceiver. And they sold it until they closed in 1974.
Hey, I've been looking for one of them things for about 4 years, and I haven't run across one on the QRZ swap net or the QTH swap net, and I haven't seen one at a ham fest. I sure would like to get one, and I'm going through an old Heathkit SB301 receiver now, and I'm gonna keep this thing, and I'm looking for an SB401 transmitter. I think it's strictly AM and CW. I'm not sure. It might have sideband on it, but I've seen them every once in a while on QRZ for sale. I don't like to buy nothing off of eBay, Andy. KI4LZI, K4OIM.
KI4LZI, yeah, I understand that. I took a risk one time, but I didn't have no more than $75 in it, so I wouldn't if I had lost something, I wouldn't. I got this right here near me here, this HTX. It's 404 realistic here, 70 centimeters, HT to WHK. JBW got for me off of eBay back, I guess around 2010, 2009, somewhere in that range, and I got lucky.
SB301 off of QRZ webpage, and the guy pretty much lied to me about it. He said he didn't have a power cord, and he didn't have it worked. It was in working condition when he took it out of service, but he couldn't find the power cord to it. And I had a power cord that was off of a printer that would fit this thing, and I put it on there, and It's got a problem in the power supply, and two of the old wax capacitors, the ends are blown slam out of it, and one of the coils coming off of the band switch, it looks like it's never even been soldered. Went online and downloaded a schematic for it, and I'm going to go ahead and replace all the capacitors in it and give it a good cleaning. And just started checking the power supply out. I hope to get it going. It won't cost that much because as long as the band switch is good and the VFO on it, the dial mechanism is tracking right. And I need to go in and give it a full alignment, I know, but for what I got in it, it's worth fixing, Andy. KI4LZI, K4OIM.
Well, Z.I., I know I got this QST here a day or two ago and got to looking here on the classic radio and seen this FPM300. And I just wondered if, being that you got a lot of them, whether or not you might have had that or not, I didn't know.
All I've got is they're older than that. Way older than that. Probably some of the first ones that came out, but say that's listed on QRZ?
QST, Quebec Sierra Tango, ARL Magazine. It's in the current QST under Classic Radio. Hallicrafters FPM 300. And according to what it says here, that was the last thing they sold before they closed down.
Tell him what he wants for that thing, Andy. Because it is a classic. Everybody I know that deals with them, the old boat anchors, would love to get their hands on one of them.
Well, anyway, this in here is kind of similar to the way Rayu Boulevard is. It goes into the details about it and gives you a biography about it, but that's why it's in classic radio. It's not exactly for sale per se. It's just to let you, kind of give you information about it.
I have to renew my membership to the ARRL where I can start getting QST again. But QST had got to where it was nothing like it used to be. They always had a project in there you could build and use at home. I know one time they had a tube-type receiver and a tube-type transmitter built on a pine board. And I lost that copy of that magazine. I always wanted to build that receiver and transmitter. It's what they used to call breadboarding back in the teens and the 20s and the early 30s and probably up in the 40s when parts was hard to get a hold of on account of the Depression. You don't have to build a radio on a metal chassis. As long as you run everything to ground, you're covered. But I always wanted to build one of those old receivers and transmitters. And I got to go October the 3rd and get a cataract took off my left eye. And then I go back November the 16th and get the other one done on my right eye. So I ought to be in pretty good shape. I ought to be able to halfway see at the ham fest.
LZI5D, by chance, do you remember what month and year was on that QST?
Sure don't. Wait a minute. It would have been back... I was working down in Greenwood, so it would have been, about 2010, I think. I know the ARL, they did sell CDs with about 20 years worth of QST on magazine on them. And I had about every copy since the beginning of QST. But in all the moving I've done and going through a divorce and all of that, I lost shoe boxes full of my QSL cards that I'd got, and lost a bunch of the CDs. And if I get my membership back with ARRL, I'm going to reorder all of them. Because I love to read the old magazines. K4OIM for ID.
Well, LZI for ID. If it was 2010, I had it here at one time, but I'm kind of like you. I share mine with other people, and it's... I doubt that I still got it, but I had all the 2010s at one time.
I had them, let's see, I got licensed in 78, and I had all of them up till, about 8 years ago is when I started moving between jobs and get transferred from one job to another one and have to move, and I lost a lot of stuff, and then the night I fell and broke my neck, my daughter and I were in the process of moving, and we had made one trip, and I was going to leave my camper at the new place with all my radio equipment in it, and that's where I was at the night I had the stroke and fell and broke my neck, and I was in the hospital for the first time for about 2 months. And she had to finish moving herself, and she left a lot of my test equipment and all at the old place. And I just lost it all, Andy. KI4LZI, K4OIM.
KI4LZI, I've noticed now over the years that some of the ham fest, some people, literally give you the QSTs. They'll be kind of like what me and Doug Garfo-XM, I share mine with him after I have them so long a time. But some people will bring them to the ham fest and literally give them away. So you, if you can remember the months in that year, you may yet still find it.
You said you was going to be there. They wasn't an emergency come up. How's that foot doing, Andy?
It's much better now. I was hoping it'd be better by now. I'm able now to drive again and get around. Every now and then I feel some pain in it at certain times, but it's much better than it was right after I did it.
Still have trouble out of my neck every once in a while, and especially when it's cold and raining, it gives me a fit. But I'm just thankful I'm still alive and not paralyzed and can get around. They got me on I've been on a cane, and I went back to the VA about 3 months ago to go through some physical therapy, and the doctor said, "Walt, I'm going to take you off that cane." And I said, "Good." And son of a gun, he come rolling one of them walkers out. It going to put me on a walker. I put the walker in my truck, brought it home, and put it on the porch. But I'm walking with my cane, and sometimes I don't need it. I just can't walk far without the cane. And if I go like to Walmart or somewhere, I do take the walker, because I've been in Walmart and have to get my daughter to take my buggy and give her the money to pay for my stuff, and I didn't think I could make it back to the car to set, or to the truck to set down. But I hate to be on that walker. I just don't. if I use it all the time, I might as well just give up, Andy. KI4LZIK40, I am.
I am KI4LZI. When you're at Walmart and you see those battery-powered scooters, they call them, you ever get one of them, you better be sure you get one that's got a good charge on it, because my mother's kind of like you to a degree. She has to take and use one of those buggies like you got, or either one of those, and a lot of times those things won't always have a good charge on it, and it'll go dead on you somewhere.
Go in there, they ain't got one up there available. Then when you get in the store, all you see is them big old fat women on them. And a few big fat men that's too lazy to get up and walk, Andy. And when they take the, I seen them take the carts back and get off of them and walk to their car like there wasn't nothing wrong with them. But that's like people parking in handicapped parking lots, man. They just, I don't know, Andy. KI4LZIK40AM.
LZI, well, over there where WR4XM works at the one at Traveler's Rest. And why, I didn't realize those things were worth so much. But that over there, people have stolen from over there. And I found out later those things are worth $2,000 to $3,000. The only thing I can figure is just the batteries, the reason they're so expensive.
Probably is, because they're probably running up a probably 24 volts, something like a golf cart battery. So they probably are pretty expensive. Well, any of these deep cycle batteries are expensive now. After we moved up here, we had so much trouble with squirrels getting in the power line and knocking the transformer out. I went and got me a solar panel and put it up out here. And I got two deep cycle marine batteries here in the floor. And my shack's totally running off of battery power now, Andy. KI4LZIK40AM.
I am KI4LZI. There was another guy, he's been gone now for 2 or 3 years, that used to live up in Jackson County up here above us in North Carolina. He's called KD4USA. Some of the people that's been on this repeater a long time remember him. Up there at his house, he had a setup up there on solar and wind generators up there. And he used very little commercial power. How he managed to get all that in place, I don't know, but he did.
Get me a wind generator to go with this, because here on the lake, there's always a breeze blowing. This summer, down here in my shack, I never turned the air conditioning on one time. And it was only about 3 days that out of the whole summer that I had to run a fan in here. I just opened all the windows and let the breeze blow through. It was decent up here, and I've got all these big oak trees all around the camper. It's in the shade pretty much all the time. And I've been thinking about getting me one of those wind generators, but boy, they kind of expensive.
I don't know how Dwight come up. From where I understood him back in the same, he took and got it from people who was upgrading or such stuff as that, but I guarantee you from what Dwight had up, the way he described it years ago here on this repeater, he had a good chunk of change and some of that he had up there just for that. Up there, because he was talking about it, the power up there was 3/4 of the time in the winter, it was always off up there.
Right across in front of us, it's all woods. and the three lots above us, they're all woods. And I've got plenty of room for antennas around here. I've got a 20-meter double bazooka antenna out there I'm wanting to get up. I got a 6-meter dipole I'm wanting to get up. And then I've got my 80 through 10 hand dipole I need to get up. And then I got that Cushcraft A3 tri-bender beam up there. I've got it listed on the swap net for sale. If I don't sell it, I'm going to end up putting that thing up. Now, I've had it about 2 years and just hadn't had the money to get the rotator and all, but I've got the rotator now, and I've got 32-foot of tower. It's just that I ain't able to do all that right now, Andy. My health's got to get a lot better for me to get out there. I even got a tripod. I bought a brand new tripod to put on top of the house, put the beams on instead of the tower. That's what I might end up doing, because I can put an 8-foot ladder on the back deck and get up on top of the house. And the house ain't got that steep of a pitch to it. And get up there and put that tripod up and then set the beams down on it. That way they won't be no climbing to do except the 8-foot to get up on top. K4OIM, back to KI4LZI.
I'm KI4LZI. By chance, do you remember Dwight from here back years ago? That KD4USA?
Familiar, but I can't quite place him, Andy. K4OIM for ID.
He took off and left up there and went to the Pacific. He was on all here about all the time, even here on the Briar's Net. And he was KD4USA. He was had been a principal up there in high school up there somewhere and held an extra class license. His daughter was over in the Pacific. And it's a long, drawn-out thing, but up until about 3 or 4 years ago, he was always on here and talking with us here on 610. And he always talked about that wind generator and that solar business all the time to everybody on here.
Remember him now. I had been listening to him because all I had was a novice license, and I couldn't get on 2 meters. I could get on HF and CW and get on phone up on 10 meters from 28.3 to 28.5, but I had a 2-meter transceiver here where I could listen to the net, and boy, I was tickled to death when I finally went to Greenville and took the test without even studying and got my technician, and went back the next month and got my general. And I'm on 2 meters now, more than I am on HF. I check into the South Carolina net in the morning, and then the South Carolina sideband net in the evening, and then join the good old boys up on 39.3.919, and then I'm a member of the Ole Miss net. I always thought the Ole Miss net was for something to do with the University of Mississippi. And what it stands for is old man single side band, Ned, Andy. I'm a member of it, and I enjoy getting on there and checking in with them. That's the best way to get Worktaw States Award. I'm still trying to get that. But, Andy, I'm going to have to get off here and get up there and get a shower and get in bed. I done took my amphotericin, and I'm sitting down here about to go to sleep. So, KI4LZI-K4OIM, I'll be clear on you finally, Andy, and I've enjoyed talking to you, and I hope you make it up there to the ham fest. I want to see you again.
The mate's down to that and down there, barring some emergency don't come up. I figured if you had done like I've done on and off on this repeater since the late 70s, you had at least heard KD4USA, Dwight, and heard him talking here about all that. There's a lot of people that I remember hearing on this repeater from back in the 90s and 80s and late 70s that's been dead for decades. They never knew me because, as you say, I didn't have my license to get on 2 meters then, but I remember in some ways her call sign's better than my own call sign. K4OIM, KI4LZI.
KI4OIM. All right, Andy. 7-3, buddy. I'll catch you later.
Well, JBQ, KO4NUE.
For NUE, KK4JBQ. Hello, Chad.
Did you get your package today?
I did get the package today. I was startled when it came because I was asleep in a recliner right near the front door. And Cat was on my lap. Well, one was on my lap and the other at my feet. And when that hit the concrete, you know, they just drop it. You had it packed so well, thank you. When that hit the concrete, it was a big boom and the cats jumped and I jumped out of the chair. And I thought, oh, that must be the package. Yes. So we have it in the house. I have it. I took it out of the package. And we've talked about, Donna and I have talked about how we might erect it. It is here. Thank you, sir.
You might as well put it on some kind of meter and check it out first, because it might just blow the back of the radio out. I had mine in here tuning it, and I got it hanging from the ceiling, so I can try to get it interference away from it. And I don't know what it is. I got it tuned as close as I can get it, and SWR's way down on it. But I can hit 146.612, and every smoke alarm in the house goes off. So I don't exactly know what that means, but it's kind of neat. I cue the mic, and it drives the dogs crazy.
Man, I'm pretty close to the repeater up here, as everybody knows, but you live in that area down there, Larry, where you are in that limited area where you can have antennas. That seems like you had something like a J-pole there at one time in a flower pot or something. Can you work it around down there? You're going to have to see if you can put that in up and work it around again if you can manage not to get out them giving you problems about it.
Andy, join the group. And you're right. That antenna is no more. It was pressure from the HOA that caused that. We had a hailstorm here and took it out. Took out the roof as well. So we had a complete roof change and repairs. We had a lot of leakage in the house and such. Hail is an awful thing. It's a rare thing, perhaps, but when you get under a shower of hailstones the size of your fist, and they were about 2.5 inches, that's smaller than your fist, I guess, but 2.5 inch hailstones is huge, and took that one out. Well, it was clearly an antenna, and what Chad has constructed here is something that I figure I can put in a 2.5 inch PVC pipe. I was just looking up a note that I had made some long time ago. A fellow named Ed Fong, F-O-N-G. He's a highly educated person. and he's determined that there is one PVC that has no metallic content in the formulation of the polyvinyl chloride, and recommends it for encasing antennas to hide them. See, we have white siding here, and a white PVC pipe would be very stealth. KK4JPQ.
Be in trouble then. Spray Gary's down with rhino lining. I didn't realize that. I need to go back and check it again and make sure I hadn't changed something, because I'm going to tell you, when you just get your hands anywhere near it, and it just throws the SWR off. I mean, you gotta hang it from the ceiling and make an adjustment and then step away from it for 2 or 3 feet. The thing about it is, Larry, the one you got, if I can walk up to the meter, probably about 4 or 5 feet away, and SWR starts changing. That close, and I think that folded section up top is got so much gain with it that it's just pretty sensitive. I mean, it works really well, but the J pole I got for Andy and Gary, they're not nearly as sensitive. But I got one just like yours, and I absolutely love it. And I can hear. I got a neighbor, well, not a neighbor, but up the road we try to do simplex, and it's awful scratchy at times. But with this thing, it's nice. I mean, it's clear as a bell. So give it a shot. Check it out first and start off on low power and see kind of what you got. But I'm going to meet up with Andy. We'll drop Andy's off at the EOC in Pickens this week. But y'all give me some feedback and let me know what I need to change.
I want to keep Larry with a decent antenna, because I've got a good antenna here and a good radio here. I just rarely use it in the summer months for fear of a surge taking that out. And I don't have the money to put in it like I did back when I bought it. And being that I can get this one with just an HT, 3/4 of the time in the summer, I just used HT rather than having this diamond tri-bander hooked up on this 8900 like I'm using right now.
That's something to share with you. KK4JBQ. I read about a ham who was probably in a similar situation. Had local lightning strikes. Nothing had hit his home yet, but he was concerned, and every time a thunderstorm approached, he went around and he disconnected all of his coax from the back of his radios. And a friend of his says, I gotta, you know, if a lightning should strike even locally and enough energy gets on that coax, it'll come right into your house. So what you need to do is set you down a water glass and take that, the end of that coax, and stick it in the glass. Now, glass is a beautiful insulator. And so if the lightning got that far, it would stop right there, insulated by the water glass. So what the fellow did is he started putting everything in a water glass full of water. And he talked to his friend sometime later. He says, you know, I tried your method of disconnecting my coax and putting it in a water glass, and now my radio don't work at all. He had filled that water glass with water and then stuck his coax in it. KK4JBQ.
I'm just outside of Columbia. I'm hitting two repeaters, so I'm going to have to keep it short. But good evening to y'all. KD4NNU Mobile. Boy, hell's the guy. I don't know which of the 16 you're getting into, but this one up here is the one in Greenville up on Caesar's Head. I'm on 6-1. But like I said, I'm tying up two repeaters at the same time. There's one in, I guess it's in Georgia that I'm hitting.
Dan, go ahead and talk to him, NUV. I can understand that where I'm at, that rarely happens. KI4LCI.
Kilo Oscar 4, November Uniform Echo, name is Chad. KI4LZI, Andy, and KK4JBQ, Larry. And say you in Columbia, sir?
Delta 4, November Uniform, Clayton.
Mobile in Columbia.
Oh, whenever I get closer, I'm probably about 2 hours out, so if you're still on whenever I get in closer, I'll try to make the call. Right now, like I said, I'm interrupting another repeater besides this one.
But
you can hear us. I'm not sure what's going on.
I understand what's going on, but where I live, it rarely happens unless conditions really, 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 really get unusual. He's kind of in between two 610 machines. He's keying this and another one both at the same time. And when that happens, unless they're tone squelched, with these newer radios, you can tone squelch them. Say, like this one here's got on output an 88.5 tone. The other one would tear you up if it's on the air, too.
But if it's just three guys that got together, we all appreciate one another, and we all appreciate the hobby, so that's the reason we're here at KK4JBQ.
Larry, they're out.
We doubled you one, KK4JBQ.
Well, go ahead and make yours, because I didn't know you was doing it then. Say something to him.
Okay. Clayton, this is KK4JBQ. Name is Larry. Well, I was just saying that it's good to hear you. It's a long trip from Columbia. I don't know. I can't figure it out exactly how you are tying up two repeaters. But anyway, this is an impromptu QSO. Just three guys got together after Annette, and we're talking over things concerning the hobby, and you're welcome to join us. Anyhow, I do plan to install, I suppose it'll be known here and ever after as the Chad antenna. The Chad antenna. How do you like that? KK4JBQ.
I like that antenna. KD4, it is you. And Larry, I've talked to you before, and I'm trying to get back home. I live in Greer.
I guess we stomped on the same grounds, you and I.
Been on the net quite a few times. Usually from the house, though. I've never heard this repeater from where I'm at right now.
Say that the conditions are really good right now. They're everybody throughout the net that we had earlier and everybody that I've listened to this evening, crystal clear. So atmospheric conditions are very favorable for 2 meters right now. Anyway, Chad, I do thank you, and I will get this antenna in operation as soon as I pick up some PVC to enclose it. It should be well hidden, and maybe somebody would wonder, what's that piece of PVC? It just goes up in the air and it goes nowhere, and you know, but they won't see it as an antenna for sure. KK4JBQ.
Sure, I got it. What I read about this antenna was that it's, and it's just what I read now. I'm not a guru here at all. But I did test out what the information I read about it, and it, because it has the takeoff angle that it's got, it's not elevation sensitive. In other words, elevation may not help it that much or make it worse. So after I read that, let me tell you what I did. So I put some zip ties around mine so it would be conductive, and just hung it from a nail underneath the porch. Plugged my handy talkie into it, and I was talking to Dave this morning on 2 watts under the porch on a handy talkie, and I just can't do that. I just can't do that from here. But I'm tickled with it. I mean, it looks horrible. It looks like something out of Star Wars or something. But hey, it works. It works really well.
Well, I'll tell you, Chad, what it looks like is a trombone. You know, the trombone slide, fully extended, I'm saying. It's, for anybody who's not seen this, it's 5 feet long and looks like a trombone slide. It's made out of half-inch copper tubing, I believe. Nicely done. KK4JBQ. But Chad, what, you gave it another name, KK4JBQ.
Looks like a upside down J, or a backwards J. Well, it's a J, but this is called a Slim Jim, and it's basically another portion of the wavelength folded over. So it looks almost like a rectangle, but that gap in between. There's a gap in between the wavelength sections of pipe, and that wavelength, that gap is pretty doggone sensitive. But on the receive side, because of the way it's shaped, I can actually do better turning it horizontal. And I've had it on the porch, I've had it on the rafters on the house, and it works just as well horizontal, and I can tuck it up on the rafters and nobody know what it is, you know, because this thing I bought, the Comet I bought, it's the ugliest thing in the world, so I'm going to take it down and put this one up.
it would look pink copper if you didn't camouflage it in some way, and that's really concern in an HOA. You have people walking the grounds, walking their dogs, but also coming through the backyards and all that. I do think there's an HOA police, kind of informally organized, and they inspect everybody's, because here, if you put a little garden out in the backyard, you'd have to get permission from the HOA to put anything in the ground. See, what it is, we, by deed, we own the footprint of the house, and that's all. Any of the land, any dirt you could put a plant in belongs to the HOA and is controlled by the HOA. And even the outside of the house, the siding, the roofing, and all that stuff, that's theirs. It's just the oddest way to live, because I've lived other ways, of course, in a house and property that you owned, and you get a little paranoid after a time. KK4JBQ.
That's a good way of keeping the resale and the property values up, because I guess that's the intent with a HOA. But I didn't know anything about HOAs till a couple of years ago. And a friend of mine wanted me to help him fix his lawnmower. So I went and picked it up and told him I'd get it running for him. And he was like, "Man, you know, you're going to have that thing back tomorrow, aren't you?" And I said, "Well, no. I might have it back in a week or so." "Oh, no. You've got to unload it. The HOA's going to get me if I don't get my grass cut. I done got one warning." And I kept thinking, who would name somebody HOA? And then he explained to me that that's the housing authority. And he was explaining to me how that worked. And that was pretty foreign to me. But after realizing what their intent is, you know, it's the end state, it's probably all about money. Because you gotta stay, keep everything dressed right, dressed, looking nice. And at the end of the day, that's gotta be good for resale value.
This is the case, KK4JBQ. And I know almost certainly that they'll carry me out of here. This is the last place. We've been here 20 years, and we have so many connections into the community around here, and we do live in a nice location. Greer is a marvelous place to live, and everything is convenient. So, not just for my sake and my concern, but for Donna, I'm certain that we'll be here right along. And like you, Chad, we are sort of renovating. You're doing because you're an empty nester, or soon will be. And ours is just because anybody out there listening, if you own a home, you are the landlord, so to speak. If anything breaks, you fix it. KK4JBQ.
Well, it's just a bit in an HOA type situation when it comes to amateur radio. You gotta do everything stealthy and be quite careful.
In the HOA, they would frown on my tower, KD4NNU.
Sure, I got it, KO4NUE. Trying to figure out, you know, hey, what can I. So, but Clayton, these two guys have been, I'm a relatively new ham, and these guys have been helping me out on every Tuesday night. We have like a little training class after the net. And they've really, really helped me out, because I've really been struggling with the HF side. antennas. So they've given me some really good training. And 3 weeks ago, I didn't know anything about an antenna. Well, about a month ago, I guess. So I built my own dipole and then decided to build these things to take the information that they have taught me over the net on Tuesday nights and build an antenna for them to let them know, hey, y'all didn't waste your time. I've written down everything you've taught me, and this is what it looks like. So, Andy, all I can tell you is, but if the antenna don't work, then I'm going to blame it on the teacher.
Don't worry about it. If there's anybody that needs it more worse than I do, you're welcome to give it to them. I was seriously thinking, I thought about it, but with this steel roof on the house that me and my mother put on here just because of the hail situation, I can't hang a J-pole up in the attic here for a backup when I can't have the outside diamond hooked up. With this steel roof on it, it wouldn't function, so it may have to, you know, give it to somebody else that can use it more than I can, because I thought about that, but since this steel roof's on here, that's out of the question now. KI4LCI.
Well, I understand. No hard feelings at all. I understand the situation, but I'll find a use for it, I guess, but I don't know. Maybe I'll mount it to the truck. I'm not sure it'd work. But anyway, just gonna let Clayton know that's kind of what's going on. So we're discussing the antenna that I built. So I built the two Slim Jims first, and was experimenting with mine. And I just thought, well, during one of the nets, Larry mentioned that he was in a HOA and couldn't have wires anywhere, and I said, okay, I see now. So he gets something he can put a birdhouse on the top of, and he should be good to go. I'm just curious, what did Miss Donna say when she saw that thing?
Well, Donna, being the musician, she instantly recognized it as looking like a trombone slide. And I thought, oh, yeah, that's what it looks like. It's an interesting design. I had it figured out in like 2 minutes that the section, that the air gap in that section that you protected with the length of half inch, around here they call it hose pipe, or water hose is what I grew up with. I don't know if that was in the plan, but that's ingenious. You know, taking something that's just there, just a, you know, and making an insulator to stabilize it, but also to keep water out, you know, just a piece of hose pipe. Donna likes it. KK4JBQ.
Make sure I got it. KO4NUE for station ID. But it's pretty sensitive. If you get two or three, well, if you get about 8 inches from it and you get in the impedance field or the reactance field of the antenna, I had it laid out on the island in the kitchen trying to tweak everything, and had the meter hooked up to it, and Anna came in there and she says, what is all this? What are you doing? And you know, so we got in a discussion about it and how it works and, you know, what's this meter do and, you know, so she got a training class on, you know, SWR and what that is. And she would take her hand and wave her hand over that gap point, and the SWR would show just about a dead short. And she, you know, her hand was about 3 inches from it. So that kind of tells me that, I mean, from what I've read about it, it's got some crazy gain to it. And just by waving your hand over it, and you see the react, and you see it react, I'm thinking, well, you know, no wonder I can pick up, you know, the one my neighbor over here that I have problems simplex with. I don't have any issues anymore, so I'm gonna take the one I spent $90 on. I'm gonna take it down, and I'm gonna put this one up. I mean, why not?